The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's up, everybody? I'm Najee Adams.
And I'm Hunter Jacobs.
And you're listening to the Hoop Bowl Nets Podcast. We're back. And I'm actually excited to record this podcast. So I'm excited about every Nets podcast that we record. But this one, I'm extra excited about because we actually have Nets basketball back on television. And there's been a whole lot in the news, a whole lot of good stuff. Not too many bad things. So that's always good. But before we get to everything, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere you listen to podcasts, we most likely are. So just look up Brooklyn Nets, or you can look up Hoopball Nets, either one. We come up, hit that little subscribe button. If you're on iTunes, leave a 5-star rating and review. Really helps us out, and it takes like 20 seconds maybe. And all reviews are getting read on the podcast. Shout out to Hawaiian House Kona Coffee Company for sponsoring this podcast and every other Hoopball podcast. You can find them on Twitter at Hi Kona Coffee. That's Kona with a K. Hi, just spelled H-I. And you can buy their products off Amazon. Let them know that Hoopball Nets sent you. Shout out to all the new listeners we have, if we have any new listeners. We shouted our podcast out in our class this week. And so if any of y'all are listening, we just want to say thank you for listening. If the professor is listening, once again, thank you for letting us shout our podcast out. And yeah, let's get to the Nets. So the big thing that's been in the news, really, it's in like about the entire NBA, is the whole China controversy. And it involves the Nets because, honestly, the Nets and the Lakers play on Thursday and Saturday, I think, in China. And the owner of the Nets is acting as like the liaison between the NBA and China. So if you don't know what we're talking about, basically, the Rockets GM, Daryl Morey, tweeted something out in support of Hong Kong's oppression. The oppression of Hong Kong by China. And obviously China didn't take too kindly to that. So they then asked him to delete the tweet and said that it is not in his freedom of speech rights to say something that basically talks bad about the Chinese government. And Adam Silver went on record saying that it is indeed in his freedom of speech. Since he has the right of freedom of speech, he can say whatever he wants, whether it's about the Chinese government, the United States government, whatever he wants to say, he can say. And so obviously China and the United States go by very, very different laws, and China didn't take too kindly to that. So they ended up cutting all ties with the Rockets, they cut a lot of ties with the NBA. They're not broadcasting the Nets and the Lakers games on Thursday and Saturday. And there's actually like a thought that the Nets and Lakers games are actually in danger of not even being played right now. But hopefully that's worst case scenario, because Kyrie said to make his debut on Thursday and we all want to see that. But basically the Nets majority owner, Joe Tsai, is acting, like I said before, as a liaison between the NBA and China, just as he did with the LiAngelo Ball UCLA whole controversy. And he basically just wants to make it so that, like, he wants to let China see that the United States goes by a different set of laws, and what Daryl Morey said is right, but also he wants to have respect for China. And with all that being said, we just want to see the Nets play on Thursday.
And honestly, I don't think Adam Silver, I know he has to get involved as the commissioner, But I don't think he should have taken a side like he did and really said it's his freedom of speech. He should have just said that he'll handle it behind closed doors, really, and figure something out. I don't know that Maury should be punished for it, but...
I don't think he should be punished for it because, I mean, it's in his right to say what he wants to say. And if we're being honest, Hong Kong does get oppressed by China. So, I mean, he can say... He's not saying anything too wrong. He was honestly just tweeting his support for Hong Kong. So that in association obviously looks bad for China. But I don't think he should be punished. I feel what you're saying, though, because with Adam Silver saying something and picking a side, then it ruins his ties with China. So it's kind of a slippery
slope. And his main thing is going globally in the NBA. So for him to sever ties with one country instead of expanding more...
And it loses the NBA a lot of money because if they're not broadcasting their games, the NBA is not getting as much money as they could from it. So, but I feel like that's another thing that people were so on him about because if he wouldn't have said anything, it was a lose-lose for him. Because if he said something, and obviously there's people that wish he wouldn't, and if he wouldn't have said anything, then there would have been people saying that he's getting rammed by China so that he couldn't say anything. So he really was in a lose-lose, but... I think he handled it the best way he could, to be completely honest. But that's that. Hopefully the Nets and Lakers do end up playing because we'd love to see Kyrie. On to brighter and lighter news. KD was on Ebro in the morning today. It's basically a radio show in New York, if you don't know what that is. And he had a lot to say. He talked
KD
about,
like, in general has been very active.
He has been.
In the New York community. We wanted to attend their open practice that was at Brooklyn Bridge Park last Saturday, but the tickets sold out faster than we can get them, so we missed out.
One day, we're going to be gifted tickets, but for right now, we've got to buy them just like everybody else.
They were free. That's crazy. We just missed the deadline.
We just missed the deadline, but next year, catch us there. Catch us at the open practice at Brooklyn Bridge Park. But yeah, KD, he doesn't really have much to do outside of rehabbing, so he might as well go on all these New York shows and acquaint himself with New York media. And he took some jabs at Knicks fans. He did a lot. He did a lot on the radio show.
Look, he talked KD about... always does a lot. He likes attention, if we're being honest. So he says as many things as he can to get his name in the news.
He talked about his top five favorite rappers. He talked about a whole lot of stuff. But what everyone's taking from this interview is the fact that, I'm going to quote it word for word. KD said, he was asked about, like, what are his thoughts on the Knicks. He said, I think a lot of fans look at the Knicks as a brand and expect these younger players who, in their lifetime, don't remember the Knicks being good. I didn't grow up with the Knicks. I've seen the Knicks in the finals, but kids coming up after me didn't see that. So that whole brand of the Knicks to them is not as cool as, let's say, the Golden State Warriors, even the Lakers or the Nets now. And then he went on to say, it's like the cool thing right now is not the Knicks. Now, to be completely honest... He said absolutely nothing wrong.
Oh, yeah. Everything he said is right. I think people who are Knicks fans are just blinded by the fact that they play at the Garden and expect young stars like, let's say, a Devin Booker or something if he were to become a free agent.
Or even D'Angelo Russell. Yeah.
Players like that, they expect them to be like, yeah, let's go to the Knicks. What do the Knicks have to offer? What do they have to offer other than the Garden?
Or what do the Knicks have to offer that the Nets don't? Other than the Garden.
Most franchises. It's really... The Knicks failed. And this
the
failure...
The Knicks are failures. This
failure put them in a dark hole. Now they have four power forwards in the place of Kyrie and Kevin Durant.
And Zion. Don't forget about Zion.
They instead have RJ Barrett, Marcus Morris, Taj Gibson, Bobby Portis, Elfrid Payton, Reggie Bullock, and Julius Randle. What an offseason it was.
See, the thing is, Knicks fans are sensitive. I'm sorry. But so KD said this, and of course, he offended every Knicks fan that there was. He went on a Twitter barrage.
Look, this was where he messed up. He could have just left his interview.
Absolutely destroyed.
He could have had Knicks fans stirring and just let them talk to themselves.
So I have a whole bunch of tweets here. I'm going to pick one out of the blue. A lot of them have a whole lot of curses in it, so I can't really say too many of them, but let's do this one. It says, you know what would be so cool? Playing in front of empty seats. This is from my man, NY Sports here. He said, watch how cool it is to get booed out of your own arena when the Knicks come to Barclays. In New York, it's not cool to be a Net. Sorry, it still is and will always be a Knicks town. You'll find out shortly. Now, I'm just going to address my man New York Sports here. I don't think there's any chance that when the Knicks come to Barclays, they get the KD gets booed out.
No, yeah, see, in the Barclays, it's Nets fans. I don't care what anyone says. Knicks, Nets, it'll probably, at best, be 50-50, which would not result in him being booed out.
And what, I get the notion that he's trying to say that the Knicks are going to win. Like, the Knicks are going to win a game against the Nets. Yeah, good luck with that one, buddy.
Julius Randle or Kyrie Irving? Well, who's the main star there?
And then he says, it will always be a Knicks town. I've lived in New York my entire life, and I can tell you that the vibe I get now is much different than the vibe I've gotten every other year.
Yes, it's very... The culture is changing. As you see with the gentrification of Brooklyn, for example, you now see...
Big words.
You now see how the Nets are changing the game. They're changing their court. They're changing their uniform. They're having these open practices at Brooklyn Bridge Park, new park outside, very nice. And they are the team now. Everyone wants to support them.
To be honest, I think the cool thing is being a Nets fan. If you tell me right now, if I walk up to someone in New York and I say, yo, who what's your favorite team? And he says, or that person says, the Knicks. I'm going to be like,
nah, you know what? You know what they're going to say? They're going to be like, oh, the Knicks. And they're going to say it sadly. All of my friends who are Knicks fans, every time they say it, they're like, oh, don't remind me. I'm a Knicks gonna fan. I'm
going to laugh. And the MSG can only carry the Knicks so far. And the gas tank is running on empty. If someone tells me there's a Knicks fan, I'm laughing in their face. If someone tells me, yo, I'm a Nets fan, I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. How long you been a Nets fan? This year. See, then it's a different route. That's a different thing because you're a bandwagon. But if you've been a Nets fan for a while, I think the cool thing in New York is being a Nets fan now, to be honest. And then so KD responded to him saying, I know it's a Knicks town. We got our own little section, though. We can both occupy this wonderful city. It's all love on this side. See, KD says a lot of crazy stuff on, like, talk shows and stuff. And then when people tweet him, he doesn't get as disrespectful in tweets. Like, if you're going to be disrespectful, then, hey, be disrespectful all the time. One more tweet. Let me find something. I'm trying to find a good one. I'm trying to find a good one without curses. I'm going to just bleep up the curse, to be honest. He said, New York sports guy said, congrats. I knew you would respond to my tweet. You got everything in life to be happy about. Millions of dollars, good family, but you still complain about stupid, S word. Maybe it's because you see all your other friends growing up and moving on with their lives. You do the same. So this man thought it would be a good idea to personally attack KD instead of talking about basketball. And KD said, none of this is stupid. You wouldn't be a New York sports guy if you thought that. I love how grown up and mature you are, though. See, like, if you're going to be disrespectful on talk shows, I'm going to need you to be disrespectful on Twitter, too. Because the nice little, it's all love on this side, is not going to cut it. I'm going to need you to get crazy with fans that talk to you crazy, KD. Kevin.
Yeah, he was saying things like, boo me all you want if that's what makes you happy, or you're being real emotional right now. He was just...
When people are sitting here calling him a 7-foot Carl Thomas. Like, you gotta talk, you have to defend yourself, brother. And so, the last snippet that we'll take from this KD interview is basically, he reassured Nets fans that he once again will not be coming. We shouldn't expect him to play this season.
I believe he's keeping hopes low, despite the fact he is. That he may play in March, because he will come back, get the attention he wants, because it'll be, oh, he said he's not playing and he's here in March. He's here. That's what he wants. So he's going to tell everyone, nah, I'm not playing, so that they don't even think about him until the time comes that he comes back and all the media is going to be on him.
Exactly. I'm going to take this with a grain of salt because obviously that's the easy answer. He's not going to come out and say, yeah, I'll be back in March. Because if he's not, then he looks like a liar. So the easy thing to say is, yeah, I'm not going to be back. So if he comes back, instead of looking like a liar, he looks like the Nets' savior. So I'm still saying there's like a 30 to 40% chance KD comes back. So moving on, the Nets unveiled a whole lot of new stuff, as Hunter said earlier. They have the new graffiti jerseys and the new court. We'll start with the jerseys. We're looking at them right now.
I love the jerseys.
A lot. They've been getting a lot of backlash because they look like cartoonish or whatever people are saying.
I enjoy the cartoonish look.
I love them.
Personally, it's probably because we're in the younger generation and we enjoy things like this, but I think the jerseys look nice. If I were to design a jersey, it would somewhat resemble this.
Yeah, I like the little stars and the kind of like racetrack stripes going down the side of it. I like the gray color scheme, the way that BKLY, the way that Brooklyn spelled out BKLYN. I just like the jersey and like I think they're going to look great on the court.
And seeing it on players at the practice, like DeAndre Jordan, it was nice.
Yeah, and then the new court, I don't think there's much to say about the new court, but I like it. I think
it's not as gray as I thought, which is good. Because I was scared that it would be too gray and it would like it would be weird to play on. But it's just a kind of lighter wood color, to be honest.
Yeah, and then the kind of like stanchions have the like Brooklyn Nets and like subway writing.
Yeah.
And so that's cool. I like the floor on the Barclays.
I like the
way it used to look.
No, I like the new one. I like their whole brand altogether now. I think
they have a good like color scheme. It's simple, but
they were going to break apart their perfectly cultured team from last year, I believe that they did the right thing by taking this offseason to rebrand their jerseys, their court, to reinforce the fun New York culture that they're in.
I mean, if it was any season to rebrand, it had to be this one. Because you basically have a whole new core. You don't have a new core, but you have
starting,
a whole new...
It's a new era. They're starting a new era that they should be a top five seed championship contender for the next 4 years.
They should be a championship contender. And with that, talking about championships, the Nets are 1-0. So they played their first preseason game. And they absolutely destroyed Brazil Franca, 137-89. They should have destroyed them. Brazil was kind of keeping it close for the first like quarter and a half maybe. The Nets were up 21 at half, and then the Brazil team didn't score until 5 minutes into the third. But
all right, I just have to give a shout out to Rafael Hetzheimer. Okay,
he was smacking threes.
This guy torched DeAndre Jordan and Jared Allen and ripped them a new one. I've never heard of this guy in my life, and he lit them up for 26 points and 5 rebounds on 8 of 10 from 3.
See, it was more so DeAndre Jordan because when we were watching the game, he was getting destroyed off pick and pops.
So, it's basically... So, look back at the playoffs last year when it was Warriors-Blazers and... Game one, when Steph had 37 points, they struggled with Enes Kanter picking up on screens, and he'd sag off. In that same light off of a pick and pop, Musa would switch, and DeAndre wouldn't step up.
He would just crash the paint.
Two people covering the roller, and Hetzheimer threes all day.
Now, I don't know if the Nets probably didn't scout for this game. I'm going to be completely honest. They probably could care less about the Franca Basketball Club of Brazil. So, I get if DeAndre didn't know he was a shooter after, like, the first couple times. But once the man has made 6 threes, there's no way you shouldn't be in his grill if he's coming off a pick, if he's pick and popping.
There was one that was just lazy. He was looking at the corner, not paying attention.
That's what I was about to say.
Passed it right to his man three.
Maybe he was just like, okay, I could care less if Rafael Hetzheimer lights me up. But like, and you should care because it's your debut as a Net, and now we know you as the man that got lit up by Rafael Hetzheimer. And moving on, like we said, the Nets blew them out. There wasn't really a game.
Look, the Nets should have blown them out. And to be honest, like, all the good that you would typically point out in this game should have happened. They were playing Brazil Franca. They weren't playing another NBA team.
I don't want to not give them credit, though.
Yes, obviously credit. but you can't get too excited yet.
No, that's why I just want to go over it, because I don't want to... If you're listening and you got super excited, we got super excited too, but let's take it with a grain of salt until we see it.
I want to see them play an NBA team before I start saying, oh, this guy could be good. This guy could be good.
One person that I'm really excited about.
There were
a lot
of open shots in this game. True. It's like they were practicing for the most scrimmage. Part.
The one guy I am excited about, though, is Taurean Prince. So, obviously... Nets fans are excited about him too, because every time he got a bucket, they chanted "Welcome Prince." He was one of the stars of the game. He was drawing a lot of buzz in practice and workouts, kind of like Caris LeVert last season, and we saw how that worked out. And Taurean Prince is my pick to be the breakout star for the Nets.
And honestly, I just see him as a slightly improved Amare Carroll,
but he has so much more upside.
Yes, he plays a similar style to him. He's just a better shooter and. Similar defender, slightly better, but he's a better shooter too. So
the Nets starting lineup was the guards started Caris and Spencer Dinwiddie, and then at the forwards they started Kurucs and Taurean Prince, and then at center Jared Allen started. Now I don't think this is much different than what their starters lineup is going to be like in the regular season.
Most likely they're going to have Kyrie instead of Dinwiddie, same lineup. Joe Harris will probably also come off the bench.
He might bring Caris off the bench because you saw Kenny like the whole Dinwiddie-LeVert duo.
Yeah, it's either going to be that or he could bring Kurucs off the bench and play Prince at the four. He has options.
And then David Nwaba was probably the Nets' best defender, so
just can't wait for us to say all of this and then first game of the season, Garrett Temple is their starting small forward. Like
no shot.
Like Dudley last year.
I think their late game closing lineup is going to be Kyrie, obviously. Caris, Joe Harris, Taurean Prince, Jared Allen.
Wrong.
What do you think it'll be?
Kyrie, Dinwiddie.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Harris, LeVert, and a big man.
It depends on if Taurean Prince is cooking.
Or,
if Taurean Prince is doing well, yes, he's going to be in the game.
He'll play over LeVert, and I don't think LeVert will be in at the end of games.
LeVert is crucial to. He's got to be. If anyone gets the short end of the stick, it's Taurean.
I honestly think he'll ride the hot hand.
See, I don't think so.
Because if Prince has 25 in a game or Joe Harris has 25 in a game, you're not going to sit them out.
But I also think you can't sit Caris because he's one of your key pieces. And going into the season, everyone's looking at this roster like Caris LeVert is the second best player on the team. You can't sit him.
I just think Dinwiddie, after what he showed last year, he got to be on the court for the end of games. You saw what he did to the Rockets.
I did, and I just don't want Kenny Atkinson to overthink things.
I mean, like, it's possible Joe Harris doesn't play.
That's true. I feel like he'd only play if they need a three. Like if they're super down.
It could
down.
Be Kyrie, LeVert, and Dinwiddie, and then Prince and a big man.
I want Taurean Prince to be in at the end of games. He had 22 points. 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, no turnovers on 8 of 10 shooting, hit 6 threes, which was a team high. He was a monster this game. He absolutely dominated, but once again, it was against Franca Basketball Club of Brazil.
Well, in case you didn't know, I know I didn't know, the Nets have Lance Thomas.
They do. Okay. They signed him. They signed him because they needed forward help.
Wilson Chandler.
Yeah, and Rodions Kurucs, both of them, and KD, obviously. But so Taurean Prince was a highlight of the game. Nick Claxton was another highlight. He's been getting a lot of praise from the Nets coaching staff. DeAndre Jordan said that he reminds him of Chris Bosh because he's left-handed, he's skilled, he can go inside and out.
So what I'll tell you is he's not Chris Bosh, but... A play that I liked is when he blocked a jump shot, then came down to catch an alley. Runs both sides of the floor. Not really Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh was not all that athletic. He was more of a jump shooter score from the wing and stuff. But yeah, no, not Chris Bosh. That's not that is not a good one.
I liked what I saw in Nick Claxton. When there was a couple times where he like initiated the offense, had the ball at the top of the key. He obviously didn't run a pick and roll as the pick and roll ball handler, but he was at the top of the key dribbling the ball. That's something you will never see Jared Allen do. That's something you will never see DeAndre Jordan do.
So if we're being honest, to me, his ceiling is not quite Chris Bosh. He resembles a little more of a Blake Griffin to me, but that's
what I mean, who's better, Blake Griffin or Chris Bosh?
Wow. That's a good question.
I mean, Chris Bosh has like he has the rings. When you think of like history, Chris Bosh he has the better long-term career. He is
better than Blake Griffin.
But skill-wise, I feel like Blake low-key might be better.
That's hard. It's really hard.
A tough one. Let us know what y'all think. Follow us on Twitter. I don't even think I plugged our Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at HoopBallNets. We have 69 followers. We're trying to get to 100. So let us know who you think is better, Blake Griffin or Chris Bosh, and let us know why. Once again, tweeted us at HoopBallNets. Nick Claxton, he played really well. He had 13 points in only 8 minutes. 8 minutes, 52 seconds, so basically 9 minutes. 13 points in 9 minutes, had 2 blocks. Both of them came off jump shots, so that's good to see. And then he had 1 rebound and 2 blocks, yeah. So he went 5 of 6 from the field. He attempted 1 3, did not knock it down, but that'll come later. And then we just have people like Garrett Temple. He played well, had 10 points. Theo Pinton, the man, the myth, the legend, he had a calm 13-7, a quiet 13. Oh, no, he had 4. His plus minus.
It was a plus
13. His plus minus was 13. He had 4.
What I'll say is Jean-Noah Musa lived up to his stereotype of being a chuck.
He took the most shots on the team.
15 shots, which is 5 more than Torian Prince, the second most with 10. And he shot under 50% and only hit 50% of his free throws.
He was 1 for 5 from 3.
So it was an okay game. Nothing crazy.
But he did have 18, 3-7. So I'll give it to him. It was a good game from Jean-Noah Musa.
But I like the performances, obviously Torian Prince. But I like Nwaba, 7 of 8.
I think he's gonna be a big key for the Nets this season.
18, 5, and 4, 2 steals.
So Kenny Atkinson went on record saying that he could play the 4 in small ball
lineups. I do believe that is absolutely ridiculous.
He's only 6'4".
He's 6'4". So, unless you're playing maybe Draymond Green, who's with the new height, 6'5". That new height rule, for the record, is ridiculous. But that he's 6'5", 6'4", compared to Draymond, 6'5", that may be the only team you could do that against.
Even if you're playing somebody like John Collins, he's going to fry David Nwaba.
David Nwaba is a good defender, believe me. But
he's a good perimeter and wing defender.
Forward? Come on now. This is not Team USA putting Joe Harris at center at crunch time.
I still think David Nwaba is going to be a way more of an important piece to the Nets than people may think. Because he's their best on-ball defender.
Look, so I do believe he should edge out Garrett Temple for minutes when it comes down to it.
Oh, 100%.
But you know the Nets. Come game one, Garrett Temple is going to be the sixth man getting 30 minutes. No shot.
David Nwaba's a high-motor guy. He's going to guard the team's best player.
Believe me, I agree. But we saw with Dudley last year.
Okay, but Dudley and Nwaba are two very different
things. No, Dudley and Temple.
Okay, Garrett Temple is no locker room presence like Jared Dudley.
They don't even need the locker room presence anymore. That's what they got stars for.
That's what they got KD for. One of the big question marks going into this game, it's really going into the next season, was how the center position would play out. Because obviously we have the battle between Jared Allen and DeAndre Jordan, and to a lesser extent, Nicholas Claxton. But Jared Allen started. He played 19 minutes and 45 seconds, and DeAndre Jordan played 19 minutes and 23 seconds, and then Nick Claxton played 8 minutes and 52 seconds. So basically, both Jared Allen and DeAndre Jordan played 20 minutes.
All right, so the way it's going to work in the regular season, 24-24-0.
Yeah, and Nick Claxton will probably spend some time with the Long Island Nets.
And games that they're blowing people out, 20-28, like it was today.
Yeah, see, the thing is, I think Jared Allen is probably the better center right now. Jared Allen, this game, had 12 points.
Well, this
3 assists, 5 rebounds.
This game did prove to me that DeAndre Jordan has no lateral quickness, can't get out on a pick and pop to save his life.
DJ had 11 points, 8 rebounds,
you know,
and no other stats.
See, but you know he's a reliable 12-12 on 80% shooting.
He also has great hands.
With no other stats, period.
The thing about DeAndre Jordan that I think really differentiates him from Jared Allen is he has great hands.
Jared Allen is butterfingers.
A lot of the times when you run, well, last year when D'Lo and Jared Allen would run pick and rolls, Jared Allen would just fumble the ball. And that got them into a lot of trouble, especially in the playoffs against the Sixers. I remember when they got bounced. No, or maybe it was game four.
Yes,
it was game four. Game before they got bounced, D'Lo threw it to Jared Allen for like the game winner, and he fumbled it. Joel Embiid bagged him, and that was the game. That was DeAndre Jordan. Look, good shot. We might have won.
Look, DeAndre Jordan doesn't really get scared. He's a veteran. He does not get scared. You know what you're going to get from him, a double-double. But he's just slow. So if they can live with that, then
they'll probably play it by ear. Whoever's playing better, whoever...
I mean, I think regardless, neither of them will really see over 27 minutes in a game.
Yeah, it's going to be matchup-based, probably. Whoever matches up with the other team center better is going to play the most minutes. And then we come to the man, the myth, the legend, Caris LeVert. By the way, Kyrie and Joe Harris didn't play. Kyrie because of the little facial fracture, and Joe Harris because of rest.
So I will say, good from Caris. He was, even though he started at the two, had the most assists on the team, was handling the ball a lot, showed explosiveness, had 3 steals, was getting out in the break. Now, the one negative, the guy cannot throw an alley-oop pass to save his life.
And I think that'll come. God. So he had 13 points, 9 assists, 2 turnovers, 3 steals, 2 rebounds. He was 1 of 4 from 3, didn't shoot that well, 4 of 8 from the field, so that's 50%, only 20 minutes. The thing is, he was really facilitating the offense, running the pick and rolls, playing that D'Angelo Russell sort of role because Kyrie wasn't there. And he was running pick and rolls with Jared Allen and throwing lobs. There was 3 lobs that I saw him throw, none of them perfectly connected. Jared Allen caught them and brought them down and then dunked it, but that's not what you're expecting from an alley-oop. You're expecting the center to get the ball and bang it down. I think that this won't be Caris's role during the season, so he probably won't have to do it again. But even if it is, I feel like the chemistry will come between him and Jared Allen. Because how many times have you really seen Caris LeVert go run a pick and roll and throw a lob? It's probably new to him, so I think it'll come. I don't want to kill him too hard on it, but it was okay. It wasn't the best preseason debut, but if he would have shot better from 3, he easily could have put up like 20 points. 30, maybe even like 15.
Yeah, Dinwiddie was on triple-double watch had he made more of his shots.
So Dinwiddie put up, he was 2 of 8 from the field in 21 minutes.
1 of 6 from 3 and missed both of his free throws.
Which
so
isn't likely for
his
him.
Shots were just not falling. I don't look too much into it. Off night, whatever. He'll come around.
He had 12 rebounds, which actually led the team, which is weird. And then he had 7 assists, 2 turnovers, 1 steal, and only 5
points.
Yeah,
it's not even like he played a ton. He only had 21 minutes to get those 12 rebounds, so...
And then Wilson Chandler was a DMPCD.
I think that's just him saying, well, you're out 25 games, so you're out these 2. I need to see who I got to start the season.
He's in the doghouse, deservedly so. Not even deservedly so. I don't think he took the PEDs on purpose.
Now,
but
I just think Atkinson wants to see who he has to start the season so he can figure out the lineup.
And they don't want to build chemistry with a guy that can't play with for 25 games. So that's that game. The Nets play again, hopefully, on Thursday against the Lakers. It'll be their first matchup against an actual NBA team. And Kyrie is set to make his preseason debut. He'll be wearing a little mask, so we'll get masked Kyrie yet again. He'll be going up against the Lakers with LeBron, AD, Rondo, Alex Caruso, Quinn Cook. All of them, the Lakers are coming off a pretty dominant win over the Warriors, and the Nets are coming off a pretty dominant win over Brazil Franca. So we'll see what happens in that matchup. It'll be good to see LeBron versus Kyrie yet again. Hopefully, like we keep saying, the game is actually played. And that'll do it for this episode. We actually are going to start. I know we said this so many times, but we're serious. We're going to start coming out with something we're going to call Brooklyn Biographies. So what that is, it's basically it's going to be player previews for the upcoming season. We're going to get them out before October 17th. That's when the season starts, right?
Yes.
Tuesday, October 17th is when the season starts. We're going to do 3 episodes, one on guards, 10 forwards and then 10 centers. So when you see that pop up in your subscription feed, please listen to the episodes because it's a new idea we have. Shout us out. Just let us know that you mess with it. And yeah, it's going to be called Brooklyn Biographies. Basically going to be player previews. And yeah, it's coming up soon. So without further ado, that's going to end this episode. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes. You can look us up at Brooklyn Nets or Hoopball Nets. Press that subscribe button. Leave a 5-star rating and review. All reviews are getting read on the podcast. Once again, shout out to Hawaiian Now's Kona Coffee Company for sponsoring this podcast and every other Hoopball podcast. You can find them on Twitter at HIKONA Coffee. And you can find their products on Amazon. Let them know that the Hoopball Nets podcast sent you. Follow us on Twitter, please. We're at 70, trying to get to 100. We're actually at 69, so be our 70th follower. And, yeah, tweet at us. We'd love to hear your feedback. We'd love to hear suggestions, anything like that. You can follow us at HoopBallNets on Twitter. You can follow us individually. I'm at Najee Adams _, and Hunter's at Hunter _JKR. Our links are actually in the little description of the podcast, so you can just click that rather than typing everything in. And, yeah. That'll do it for this episode. We'll see you all next time.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.